Linda Burgess is in the Wellington studio to talk TV. Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
Jessie texts person, I'm loving Linda Burgess's book, Someone's Wife. It's a terrific read. Can you please pass on my compliments? That's from Louise.
Thank you, Louise.
Yeah. Do you get sick of getting complimented on your book?
Oh, I love it. Of course I do.
There's a lot of little bit of explosion of energy around Elizabeth Knox's book over the weekend. I don't
fantastic.
Know if you caught any of that.
Of course I have, yeah. No, that's fantastic. No, she's
just got a US publisher, six-figure deal.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, well, lovely to have you in. And what have you been watching?
Oh, I'm really liking year after year. And it's about 6 months old, you know, so really, really old.
Yeah.
But a BBC production written by Russell T. Davies, who's written not only some of the Doctor Who, but also he wrote A Very English Scandal, which was on. I loved that. I think I talked about that with you a little while ago.
What was that one about?
That was about the English, English MP who had an affair with a young guy and tried to get him murdered.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, that was amazingly good. That was one of the best things I saw, you know, a few months ago. But this one, a friend of mine from Australia who's just been staying, he's very sort of, he watches good stuff, and he said we had to watch year after year. So we sat down, six parts. It's on Neon, which is a bit of a pest, and I just have a brief moan about the fact that you do still have to have so many pay channels, really, to get all of the good things.
Yeah, it is tough, isn't it?
But I have to say, they're very nice at Neon, because I got into all sorts of trouble with Neon, and Neon have been fantastic, so there's a bit of free publicity for them. But this one is, and in fact, I'll quote The Guardian here, because they said about this one year after year that it does three things. It's a kitchen sink drama, it's near future sci-fi, and it's state of the nation polemic. So it's about, it's actually, it's, I've got to remember how to pronounce Zeitgeist, but that's what it is. It's like being alive now, which is a terrible, terribly worrying time, because you haven't just got your kids and your grandkids and your friends to worry about. You've also got the planet, and you've got politics.
Yeah. And you rely on artists and social commentators to tell you what to think and to reflect your own experience.
Well, you do, but I mean, I think we're totally, most of the time, totally befuddled, actually, because, you know, there's too much to think about. Everything is sort of too much.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm the only one who feels like that, but Russell Davies has taken the drama starts now, actually. They talk about Trump has just been coming up for a second term. I mean, he must have written this a couple of years ago. Trump actually, during the series, announces that he is now president for life, which is another terrifying thing to think about. But it's a family. It's a family drama, and there's a matriarch, and she is, I suppose, sort of, it goes from about 75 to 90, and she's Anne Reid, you know, who was in Last Tango in Halifax. She's very, very good. Mm-hmm. She's the grandmother, and then there's four grandchildren who are all about your age or a bit younger. So she might early to late 20s.
Yeah.
But so there's a and everyone. It's not no boring issues is what he says about his own work, Russell Davies. But actually, every single person sort of stands for, if not one thing, you know, several things. So there's a son who's been successful in business, but he's just lost his job, and now he's got eight jobs, and he's constantly riding around on his bike going from minute, you know, sort of cheap job to cheap job, sort of. But he's also,
what do they call that? The gig economy.
Yeah, the gig economy. Yeah, that's exactly what they call it. And he's left his wife, who's a black woman, so you've got racism in there as well for his, and not only, and she's sort of stuck with his grandmother for the rest of that's quite well done. But also, then there's also, oh gosh, I don't want to get everyone sort of eyes crossing with boredom as I tell the plot. I'm not going to do that. There's also a second son who's likes Russell Davies is gay. So there's that issue that comes in. And he falls in love with a refugee. And that story is a particularly powerful one, actually. Mm. A male refugee. And the guy, he's an illegal immigrant, actually. So there's an illegal immigrant story going through with a very, very good scene towards the end of that particular story. Then there's artificial intelligence, because the daughter of the black woman and the guy who's lost all his jobs, she wants to become a robot. She actually is getting chips implanted all the time, and she gets a chip in her hand so she doesn't have to use a phone. She just puts her hand up to her face.
Yeah, we're not far away from are we?
Nothing felt far away. That's what's so good about it. And then there's a daughter who was daughter who was born with spina bifida. And meanwhile, there's an, so she's, I suppose, in the late 30s. She is taken in by a person, a populist prime minister turns up. It's a terrifying combination of Boris and Trump in a way, uh-huh. except she's a woman, Emma Thompson. This is a very good actress in this program. Emma Thompson is the new prime minister, self-deprecating and slightly, you know, clueless and exactly what they're playing the same game that Boris Johnson plays, actually, but a bit more appealing to.
Great that it's a woman too.
Yeah, I know. All of that's perfect. And but the daughter who's handicapped, I mean, she gets taken in by the prime minister. She's on his side, and then the other daughter's an activist, and we actually see America bombing an island off China, a nuclear bomb, at the beginning. They see it on WhatsApp when they're all talking, the family, and she spends her next 15 years near death in a way because she was so near to the explosion, which killed 86 million people or something. But America got
away. Sounds like a very ambitious show.
It is, but it works, you know, and it works and it sort of holds together. But I think it's because it's basically a family story, and I'm always a sucker for a family story, really. And it's a bit sort of Sally Wainwright, you know, who yeah. did Last Tango on Halifax and the various other things. It's got a sense of immediacy and reality. Although I've made it sound ridiculously complicated, in fact, it's quite easy to follow. There's six episodes, about an hour long each one, and I actually highly recommend it year after year. And, BBC on Neon, yeah.
Very good. And you're quite good how you actually notice who's written these shows as well.
Oh, yeah. I feel duty bound to always mention the writer.
And it's a good yeah. way, too, if you see one that you really like, it's yeah. a good way of finding another show that
well,
you like too.
I reckon too, because I think, you know, if you get a good writer, and there have been a few, I mean, there is Sally Wainwright, there was Andrew Davies, who seems to have gone now, he would be getting pretty old. You know, there's various good writers, and they are pretty much their work's always worth watching to me. And other people are more actor driven than I am, but I think a good writer usually commands a good cast, a good, you know, good actors, you know, yeah. want to work with them. And I'm interested, you know, having mentioned Sally Wainwright, Last Tango in Halifax, Anne Reed, you know, who's the matriarch in this one, she was the woman, you know, the older woman in Last Family and Last Tango in Halifax. So they seem to pick up the same quality actors. Actually, at one point, Anne Reed says, she suddenly says, oh, it all started to go wrong when you could buy a T-shirt for a dollar. And I think that's actually yeah. utterly true.
100%, yeah.
Yeah, and she says to them, you know, we all couldn't resist being able to buy a T-shirt for a dollar, and the person who made it got, you know, a pound, it actually, you know, got, you know, half a penny if they were lucky. Mm. And, you know, it's an obvious statement, but it's a true one. And,
Speaking of writers, by the way, we're watching one on Netflix called The Stranger, and actually they call it Harlan Coben's The Stranger. So Harlan Coben, I think, is a novelist, and so I guess they're hoping that fans of the novelist.
Well, I had a conversation on the way in with one of your people who said he's just watching it and he can't work out whether it's good or not. So, what do you think?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel like it's just going to be another one of those ones that we enjoy enough and get to the end of and then think, oh, that was fine, but we're not exactly sort of itching to get home and put the next one on.
No, when you suddenly get something good, I mean, and then of course you did that really silly thing, you emailed me and said you should watch, what was it called? You said you'd love it, which is a great mistake.
The loudest voice, you thought. Damn you, Jessie, I'll make my own mind up about it. And you hated it.
But it wasn't so much I hated it. It's about the fox. You know, it's a true, you know, what do you call it, a docudrama. Yeah. No, not docu-walla. Yeah, it's the guy who started Fox TV, so he should have been put down at birth anyway, but that's my personal opinion. Roger Ailes. But I just didn't, I mean, I didn't like him. Now, obviously, I wasn't going to like him. No one ever meant me to. But I didn't even find him funny. I mean, I thought that, I mean, I can like quite unlikable, despicable people
yeah.
if they
are
throw
you
interesting.
A bone.
Yeah, but no, I just couldn't be bothered with it.
There was Russell Crowe playing Roger Ailes.
Yeah, I mean, I spent the entire time looking at, he had a bald thing pulled on, you know, he was made up. Hours it must have taken every day to put his fat suit on and his bald head. Why didn't they just get someone fat and bald? I mean, America's probably full of... fat bald men, but they used Russell
Maybe not
Crowe.
In Hollywood.
Not in Hollywood. Oh, no, okay. Actually, no, none in Hollywood.
I'm sorry we couldn't agree on that one. Yeah, what about the morning show on Apple TV?
No, but you see, I'm now too terrified to get anything for a week's free trial because I know how hard it is to get out of free trials. So I haven't.
I instructed listeners, and I felt quite bad about it. I felt like I was doing something naughty, but I said, if you want to watch the show, which is probably my favourite show of the year so far, the morning show, Steve Carell plays a breakfast TV host who is accused of sexual impropriety, and Jennifer Anderson, his co-host, deals with the fallout, and then Reese Witherspoon, who's this young up-and-coming
good actors,
anchor.
Yeah.
Yeah, all good stuff. Yeah. And but you can watch two episodes for free on Apple TV, and then you can sign up for 7 days for free, but then you've got to remember to cancel your credit
card. Guess what I could do? Yeah, exactly. I'm never going to do it again. No. It's too tight. It's just too stressful. Okay. But I do, two episodes free. I'll do that then.
Yeah.
Because I think I'd like that. Okay. This time I will agree with you. It's just the other one.
It's a bit brighter than the Roger Ailes one, which is more sort of sinister. Okay. Nice to talk to you, Linda.
Yeah,
Thank you.
You too. Thank you. Bye, Jessie.
Linda Burgess on TV. She has been talking about Years and Years. That's the BBC production on Neon. And then we were just talking about The Loudest Voice, which I enjoyed and she didn't, on Neon, and The Morning Show, which I've watched and loved, and she hasn't yet, and that one's on Apple TV, where the instructions are slightly more complicated.